Derby Day Draw. Pat Bradley, Wally Hall, Pigskin Preacher, and let's go straight to the Sticky Fingers Chicken Shack Rock and Roll Hotline.
Let's do that.
As we bring in a guy who I've known for a long time, very, very dear to my heart. I remember back in the days when I just got started out, Coach Stan Van Gundy joining us in the zone. Coach, how you doing, sir?
Pat, I had absolutely no idea that you were doing radio, but I certainly remember you as a player, and it is great to talk to you.
Coach, you just never know where a guy from Everett is going to end up.
And, Coach, don't worry. He's much better at radio.
I'm scared of that, of finding one of those guys showing up in their town.
Yeah, no kidding. We're spread throughout the country, so just be careful. Coach, you are right now on NBC Sports Radio, 24-hour live sports talk network, and now we can listen to it at NBCSportsRadio.com and also download the mobile app. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Well, you are a guy where certainly any chance, any opportunity we get to hear, I would love to. Let me ask you this question. I was watching the NBA last night. The Brooklyn Nets, for some reason, have nicknames on the back of their jerseys. You got the Truth. And my favorite is Mason Plumlee. He's got just plums on the back of his jersey. Would you ever allow one of your teams to have this instead of their names on the back?
Well, you don't have a choice when you're a coach. That's a league decision and a team decision. You don't have any choice. And look, it's all about selling more jerseys. So, you know, you've already sold a Paul Pierce Celtics jersey. Now you're selling a Paul Pierce Nets jersey. How are you going to sell another one? Well, now you have one that says the Truth on it, and you can sell another jersey. That's all this is about. It's about marketing. From what I understand, it's working. People are buying those jerseys. So I guess more power to the NBA. I don't like it, but then again, I'm one of those old-fashioned guys, so there's a lot of those kind of things I don't like.
Do you think they'll eventually start selling advertisement patches on some of these NBA jerseys?
Absolutely, they will start selling patches. With the NBA, it's all about trying to find ways to make more money. They call it growing the game. To me, that has absolutely nothing to do with the game. It is simply growing the pot of money. And more power to them. I mean, it's a business. That's what the people on that side of the business do. I think for coaches, we would rather have the focus remain a lot more on the basketball part of it. But that's just not the way it is.
Speaking of the basketball part of it, it seems like every few years, or maybe even every year, the discussion becomes a team's tanking. And certainly Philadelphia is not on a hot streak that they want to be on. It's on a bad hot streak. Do you think teams tank in hopes of getting that high draft pick?
Well, there's no question they tank. Now, I want to be clear on what I mean. I don't think that any player or coach goes into a game trying to lose it. I think when the game starts, that the people involved are trying to do everything that they can to win. But
sure,
there are a lot of ways to tank, and the number one way is to first create a roster that virtually has no chance of winning. The 76ers have been absolute masters of that. They were winning enough games early in the year to at least be competitive. They made sure they got rid of Evan Turner and Spencer Hawes. They've stocked their roster with D-League players. They virtually have no chance to win. They've lost 29 out of 31. Adam Silver, the new commissioner, says that's not tanking. That's rebuilding. It's a matter of semantics, I guess, but it's absolute tanking. And then the other stuff that you see is a guy gets injured, you know, maybe he turns an ankle and should miss one game. All of a sudden, he's a good player. He misses 10 games. You need rest for certain people, you know, so they sit out games. So you just find good players sitting on the bench so that their team can't win. If that's not tanking, I don't know what you want to call it, but that would be my definition of tanking.
Have you seen that work at some point in the NBA where teams have taken that strategy and that's actually helped them, whether it was the next year or the next couple of years where it's actually worked and they've turned that into a successful run?
Oh, it's certainly worked at times. It doesn't always work. Most of the teams that lose badly continue to lose badly, but it has worked. I mean, it was the start of the San Antonio dynasty.
Yeah, that's right.
David Robinson had gotten injured, and they basically tanked the rest of the year and ended up with Tim Duncan in the lottery, you know, as the number one pick, so it certainly worked for them. Oklahoma City got rid of Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis, were able to draft Kevin Durant, got him in the pick, and then the great part of it is, I still haven't figured out how they did it, but they were able to have Kevin Durant coming out of college, and still they only won 23 games, which allowed them to get Russell Westbrook, and still they lost enough to get the third pick. So the art of it there was that they were able to lose with very good young players. So certainly tanking has worked for some people, but there's more teams who have, obviously it can't work for everybody, and
right.
So a lot of these teams are going to lose just to continue losing.
Head coach Stan Van Gundy joining us. Man has been around for quite a while. You brought up Kevin Durant, and Doc Rivers recently said how he is the best offensive player in the league, hands down. Where do you compare him in your years, vast years of experience? I'm calling you old, but certainly a well-seasoned man. Where do you,
I got you. Okay.
You know what I'm saying, Coach?
I got it. I've been around forever.
He remembered you as a player, Pat.
Oh, back in those UMass Lowell days, his special days.
Not like Pat's young, so if I remember him as a high school player, then I got to be old.
No, Coach, you're young, spry, 54, if I'm not mistaken. But how do you can you compare Kevin Durant to somebody that you remember seeing in the past, a guy whose career is over now, Hall of Fame type guy?
You know, not really, because I don't think we've seen a guy like Kevin Durant. We're talking about a 6'10 perimeter player who can shoot the three and get to the rim and create his own shot. We really haven't had guys like that. And we've had big shooters, Dirk Nowitzki, Bob McAdoo going back. You know, he might have a little bit of George Gervin in him. But we really have not had a guy that is a good comparison to Durant. He's very, very unique. He shoots the three. He can get to the rim. He gets to the free throw line a lot. He's an efficient guy at all levels, shooting over 50% from the floor, over 40% from three, close to 90% at the line. You know, this is a guy that is very, very tough because you play him with quicker guys, he takes you down into the post and shoots over the top. You try to play him with bigger guys, they can't contain him off the dribble. He's probably the most difficult matchup I've seen at least since Michael Jordan, if not even a more difficult matchup than Michael Jordan.
Wow, that's pretty big praise. This is MVP year for KD?
I think so, for two reasons. Number one, he's had the great year. He carried the team when Russell Westbrook was out. But also because I think there always gets to a point with the voters where they want to vote for someone new. And as great as LeBron is, and as great a year as he's had this year, I think there's a lot of people out there who want to vote for someone different. They want someone else to win it. They want to create more of a rivalry. I think that Durant will win it easily.
Coach Stan Van Gundy joined us in the zone. Around this time of year, we are almost always going to hear about a college coach that may or may not jump to the NBA. You were able to do it. Can you look at any coach now in college that could make the successful jump from the college to the NBA next year and the next maybe couple of years?
Yeah, I think there's guys that can do it. Look, it's hard. I came into the league as an assistant for 8 years before I got a head coaching job, and there's certainly an adjustment to be made by a college coach. A lot of the speculation has centered around Calipari. Look, John could make the move because he's been in the league. He knows the league. It would be easy for him. The other guys that off the top of my head I thought would be very good haven't been in the league. It would take them a little time. But Tom Izzo, Sean Miller,
yeah.
I think those guys would be...
What is it that they have, Coach? What do you see in them that they can make the jump?
Well, I think they're both. I think they have a great. Billy Donovan would be the other one. I think those guys have a combination of being very demanding guys but also having developed great relationships with the players. And when you have those relationships, guys allow you to push them hard, which you need to do to win. I think those three guys have those things. Plus, they're all great X and O guys on top of it. So those are the things. And there's probably a lot more, but those are the three guys off the top of my head, besides Calipari, that I think could make the jump and be very, very good. Look, I think Kevin Ollie will probably draw some interest, and Fred Hoiberg at Iowa State, because both of those guys played in the league for a long time and then have done great jobs as college coach.
Coach, most of those guys you just mentioned don't think they're bigger than the team or the game.
Well, I think that's true. The one thing is, you know, if you watch media coverage of college basketball, most of it centers on the coaches. You know, it's Tom Izzo's Michigan State team. It's Kevin Ollie's UConn team. In the NBA, it's absolutely not the case. The best coach in the game, Greg Popovich, you still see very little attention there. It's Tony Parker, Tim Duncan in the San Antonio Spurs. It's LeBron James and the Miami Heat. It's certainly a different dynamic in terms of the way it's perceived. But I don't really think that affects the way guys coach.
Coach, you were at Wisconsin for a while. You have any thoughts about their run this year in the tournament?
Well, I've gotten to know Bo Ryan a little bit, and I think he's proven himself as one of the best coaches in college basketball. He's done a great, great job, and I think what's been amazing about this run they had this year for him is he played differently, and I've always admired coaches that could adjust according to their roster. Both teams had always been very slow, great defensively, but grinded out tight teams. This team this year, they opened up the game a little bit more. They were really able to score. Guys that can win more than one way, I think, deserve a great deal of respect.
Coach, just a couple more things before we let you go, and then I'll make sure to get you a couple hot tips going into the Kentucky Derby, because we're out here for the Arkansas Derby, which, by the way, there is always going to be a few horses that compete in this that are going to be the favorites going to the Kentucky Derby. But I know you're probably a horse guy coming out of the Northeast, being up in the Northeast for so long. But let me ask you this. You're two teams, two favorites in the Eastern Conference, two favorites in the Western Conference.
Well, in the East, I'm gonna throw one curveball. I'm going to go Miami, obviously. And then I'm going to take as my second favorite Chicago.
Whoa, coach!
Toronto in Brooklyn. And then in the West, San Antonio, clearly, and then my second team would be the Clippers.
Wow, coach, I love it going off the board. You're just laughing at everybody when they talk about the Pacers and the Nets and the Thunder. And who else is in the Western Conference that I'm forgetting? That
Portland.
I'm not sure. Portland. I love it, coach. Always going against the grain. Okay, last question for you. LeBron, does he stay in Miami?
I think so, because I think his decision will be based on where he has the chance to win championships. And I think he'll look around, may have some, you know, he may be interested in some other people, but I think at the end of the day, Miami will still offer him his best chance to win.
And, Coach, when exactly can we hear you on NBC Sports Radio?
You can hear me right now, but on
any
of, on any of the shows, the best time, if you want to be sure, is to go to the NBC Sports.com, NBCSportsRadio.com, or the mobile app.
Okay, good deal. So you're going to be certainly breaking down everything. And where are you in the Northeast? Are you on the West Coast?
No, I'm in Florida. I stayed in Orlando after I got fired here, so I'm in the Orlando area right now, and will be for the foreseeable future.
I love it, Coach. You take it so well, Coach. You've been through so much, though. Do you see yourself getting back and taking another coaching job?
You know, I don't know. I miss coaching. I miss the camaraderie of it. I miss the challenge of coaching in the NBA. But there's a lot of family considerations also. My family loves it here. It's not easy to uproot everybody. It's really hard to stay at this point.
I hear you, Coach. Well, I appreciate you spending some time with us. And I always think about those UMass Lowell camps and high school tournaments very fondly. They shaped me as a basketball player, no question about it. And I appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much. It was great following your career.
Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, Coach.
Okay.
All right. Coach Stan Van Gundy, good guy. We were talking on the ride down, me and Pixie and Preacher, about Stan Van Gundy coming on the show. And it got to talking about other coaches and recruiting and what separates guys and the memory of these coaches. A guy like Bill Self, who you may come in contact for a very brief moment, 10, 15, 20 years ago, still remembers you, can network. A guy like Stan Van Gundy, who may have seen you at a camp, but he's still able to remember that. And then it got to the discussion about some of these politicians. What makes them so memorable? What makes them so likable, the charisma and the ability for them to develop a relationship, is their memory.
Mm-hmm.
They can look back times where they have just pick it out of the blue and say, yeah, well, I remember when this and that. To me, and Coach Anderson, I told him Pigskin this story. I would bring people from Everett up to Fayetteville just for a weekend and watch a game. Coach Sam would come by and briefly meet them. 5 years later, he would remember them if he'd ever see me with them. And that, to me, is a coach. And there are a lot of coaches like that. And the best recruiters are like that. Guys that remember.
So you and Pigskin rode down here together.
Yeah, we did. We did. But he gave me some iced coffee, Wally. What have you given me?
Looks like I'll be calling Alan Pogue and getting a little couch time.
We're going to have to work. I was going to say, I didn't even realize you were going to be on today. But one of the things I mentioned, I was in a room at a fundraiser with Bill Clinton a few years ago. Clinton is like that. There were 400 people crowding after him. He's like, Wally, good to see you.
Yeah.
You know, how's your sister doing? Is he all right? He knew everybody.
Well, that's for a different
reason.
He remembers
people.
Your sister.
And, well, he did seem to be talking to a lot of women. But
I have days where I can't remember who I am.
That's what we're here for.
That's why you need a shirt with a name on it. You know, if your name's on there, then you'd be good.
Miami and Chicago, very surprising. Not